68. You got your Bible, Psalm 68. So we're going to start tonight with the message that the Lord has prepared. I tell you tonight that the singing has been wonderful. I already feel the Holy Spirit moving tonight. We're going to get right into the Word tonight, Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Tonight, I have something to rejoice about. Tonight, I am glad to be a child of the King. I have something to be excited about, and I don't just rejoice, but I rejoice exceedingly tonight because God reached way down below and pulled me out of the dark, deep hole of sin that I was living in, set me up on a righteous rock, changed everything about me, and made me whole. He made me pure. He took all the sin and all the evilness out of me. I thank God tonight and I rejoice tonight. You know, it seems to me that a lot of Christians nowadays or folks that claim to be Christians, you don't hear them rejoicing in the Lord. You don't hear them standing up and shouting for the Lord. You know, they say they feel the Spirit of God, but when I feel the Spirit of God, I can't help but rejoice. I have to shout amen. I have to say, praise the Lord. Glory to his name. I tell you, when I rejoice, I have to rejoice before God exceedingly. It is something that I cannot contain. I can't just stand on the seat and do nothing, doing nothing. I must move when the Spirit of God is upon me and when he's speaking to me, and I rejoice in the Lord. A lot of Christians aren't rejoicing in the Lord anymore, you know? As I have come to learn and have seen over my lifetime, you know, I can't help thinking, and I want you to dwell on this for just for a moment. Can you imagine at a time when maybe you was lost and undone, when you didn't have Christ in your life, maybe somehow because somebody nagged you just enough, or they took you by the ear and drug you into church, and you're sitting in a pew back there, probably somewhere near the back seat, because that's generally where the lost like to congregate. Not saying anybody here's in that situation tonight, but if the shoe fits, wear it tonight. But I'm going to tell you, you know, it's generally where the lost will congregate, the rear of the church. It seems like it's a safe place for them, maybe because it's closer to the door that they came in. They can run out if need be. But I tell you, it seems that, you know, as I think about them sitting back there, and how many Christians, you know, will sit in the seat and you know they're feeling the Spirit of God. If they're truly saved and truly children of God, they definitely have something to be rejoicing about. But yet, they sit there and you don't see any rejoicing going on. And I'm thinking, as a lost person sitting in the back of the church, watching these people that are all dressed up in their Sunday best, sitting there and the word being preached down to them from the portals of heaven, and there is no excitement, there is no moving, there is no amens, there is no praise the Lord, there is nothing going on. What in the world would make me want to be a part of you? I don't know how to say it other than to say it the way that God's giving it to me, but I'm telling you something. If I'm lost and undone, I don't care what the preacher's got to say. If there's a bunch of stiff-necked people sitting in the pews that ain't rejoicing, that ain't excited, that ain't on fire for God, there is nothing to make me want to be a part of that group of people. I've got something to rejoice about.
Amen.
I ain't always said something. About, but I do tonight. I praise God for it. We're going to go a little further over in the book of Matthew, chapter 5.
Come on.
Let's just kind of go along, folks. Chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Boy, I tell you what, if you've got the Lord in your life, I tell you what, you should be excited. You should be willing to let your light shine. Friend, if you can't let your light shine in church, you're not going to let it shine when you walk out those doors. And I'm going to tell you something, we're living in a day and time when your light needs to be shining on the outside of those doors.
Because you know what? It's far and few between when the lost find their way into the church.
That's right.
I tell you what, we've been better to have a revival down on a street corner somewhere, somewhere near a city park or somewhere where people are. There's a better chance that we find a lost person than somebody who can get saved.
Yeah.
You can't beg people in the church anymore. Come on. But I'm going to tell you, if you can't get excited and be on fire for the Lord in church, you're not going to do it out there.
That's the Lord.
It ain't nothing about what's proper, what we should or shouldn't do, what's okay or whatever.
That's
the
Lord.
Bible says, rejoice before God and rejoice exceedingly.
That's
what it says.
Bless the Lord.
That's the Lord.
We're just going a little bit further. Let's talk about why. Why? Why is it that people aren't on fire for God anymore? Why is it that people in the church house just can't get excited anymore? Why is it that they can't rejoice? What's happening? What's happening? I tell you what it makes me think of. It makes me think of the parable of the 10 virgins. Chapter 25 of Matthew, if you'd like to come over there.
That's your Lord.
Makes me think about the 10 virgins. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish.
Yeah. Come on, bless
they you. That were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Bless the Lord.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Yeah.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Uh-huh.
And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Come on, bless
and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that weren't ready went in. Those that were ready went in with the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Yeah.
As I think about that, a lot of Christians seem to act today, their lack of joy and excitement, rejoicing in the Lord, being on fire for God, I can't help but think of that many of them maybe fall into the same area of these foolish virgins, you know. Now, no doubt, they, along with the wise, they took part in the free gift that was given to them. They took part in taking of the lamp, the light of God, the sun. No doubt, they repented of their sins. They were made pure, and they took part of the gift, but they lacked taking something along with them. They left with their lamp and with what oil was in their lamp, but as it says, their lamps ran out. Their fire went out. The oil ran out. That's what's happened to a lot of Christians. The oil has run out. I wonder why the oil has run out. What's the problem? Is it because we sat on the seat of do nothing, doing exactly that, absolutely nothing? We're unfruitful for the Lord. We don't get out and labor. We don't get out and do. We don't witness. We stop testifying. We stop doing the things that the Lord would have us to do.
Bless
the
Lord.
You can't sit on the seat and do nothing, folks. You sit on the seat, you're going to run dry. You're going to run dry. Those that took the oil, they took the commandments of God. They took everything with them. They took the Holy Spirit with them. They labored. They worked. They were prepared. They were prepared when the day came. We've got to be prepared, folks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, if you're here and your lamp's going dry, preacher, I sure don't. I don't pray like I used to. I don't testify like I used to. I don't rejoice like I used to. I ain't on fire for God like I used to be. Well, let me tell you something. You can get that vessel filled right back up here tonight at an old-fashioned altar. You can get your vessel filled full of oil, and you can be fired up and on fire for the Lord and go out here and start winning souls to the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. People start wondering, you know, how is it that I can retain? How is it that I can endure? How is it that I can keep my joy? How is it that I can keep the fire?
That's it, Lord.
How can I stay fired up for God? Over in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. He wants to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
Wherefore, take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God.
Amen.
Praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching unto thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Maybe one of my prayers that the Lord will just touch this old boy, this old boy's box, that it might hold up to what he gives me. Let me tell you something. If you want to be able to hold on to the fire, if you want to be able to rejoice and rejoice exceedingly, we must put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Not just today, not just on Sunday, but each and every day, folks.
Amen.
We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to go out here and to witness and to testify and to labor for the Lord. If I sit down and I do absolutely nothing for the Lord, you know, I don't know about most everybody else. The amens are going to stop. The praise and the standing up and testifying is going to eventually stop. My lamp's going to run out. My light's going to go out. Maybe tonight your light's not out. Maybe it's just a little dim and you need to get fired up. Maybe you need to turn the knob up. You know, this is not a time to be slack in our labors for the Lord. We're living in a critical time, folks. I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
You know, as I shared with you my testimony the other night, pretty much, you know, the Lord pulled me out of a very, very bad place. And he turned my life completely around. He took me from being backwards and upside down to standing me straight up and sending me on forward.
Yeah.
Calling me to carry the gospel. Took me out of the bars, took me out of all the sin that I was living in. I went from being a police officer to being a bartender. I was in so much sin. If God can pull me out, the brother said it last night, and I know that's how he feels, and I feel the same way. If God can save me, if he can take me out of the life that I was living in,
mm-hmm.
and turn me into the man that he's turned me into now, and I tell you what, I wouldn't go back to that life for nothing. I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing in this world. There is nothing out there. And listen to me tonight. There is nothing out there in this world that is worth dying and going to hell.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not living for God, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him in the free pardon of sin, if you've not fallen down upon your knees and cried out to God and asked him to forgive you and to come into your heart and to save your soul, I'm telling you, you're going to die and go to hell.
Bless.
I don't know of any other way to tell you.
Bless him, Lord.
Don't believe me, it's right there in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you all about it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you tonight, many people took hold of that lively hope. They took hold of it. But a lot of neglect slipped through the fingers.
Amen.
It wasn't because man took it from you. It's because you opened the door and you let Satan come in.
Yeah.
And he'll steal it from you in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can call yourself a Christian all you want. But if you don't know the Lord, and I mean knowing, living, talking with him daily, serving, laboring for him, doing what you're supposed to do in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. You'll die and go to hell.
Amen.
Don't say it. It was the day that I got on my knees, and I've been told as long as I believed and repented that everything was going to be okay, I could just do whatever I wanted to do. That's not so, folks.
Amen.
That's not so.
That's your role.
I'm about out of steam.
That's your role.
And I believe the Lord's about giving me all I've got. Maybe a few scattering remarks tonight.
That's your
role. I want you to know I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Certainly, I ain't always done what I was supposed to do. And I testify here tonight before my God, and I do rejoice and I praise his holy name tonight. He saved my soul, and he made me a new man. Made me a new creature, changed my desires. Changed my desires. You know, you think you got things in your life that you can't get rid of. There's, you know, I'm working on it. Let me tell you something. You can't do it yourself.
Bless you, Lord.
The only way it's going to get fixed, the only way it's going to change is through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He can change it.
Amen.
He can change it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I pray tonight that Christ is troubling your heart tonight if you have a need. And I don't know what your need is. I don't know what anybody's condition is that's here tonight. I know what my condition is. My condition is that condition in which I can rejoice unto the Lord and rejoice in Him. Praise God.